It is episode 120. Today, we're going to talk about end of the fiscal year for some companies. We're going to talk about the conference season. It's underway, but kicking off for some orgs. And we're going to talk about an upcoming series that we want to cover. It's really good. You want to stay close to this. I'm Michael Askins, architect and technologist. And right next to me is Chris Aferlis, Professor Chris. How you doing?
Great. How's it going?
It's going good as usual. So, we're going to hit the ground running. A lot of people usually see us on. They think immediately it's an hour to hour and a half show. It will not be that today. It will not, I promise you. But what you're going to get out of today is some good stuff, especially the last topic we're going to talk about, a little industry 4.0, a little manufacturing discussion, and some other good things. So when you get a chance to visit our webpage or visit our sponsor webpage, we're going to promote this show for this upcoming season or series, and it's going to be a really good thing. So it's really a cold, cold, cold summer here. How about over in your greater Boston area?
Summer mode is full in effect, I will say. It's been really mixed, honestly. This week, it's been like a nice spring. It's been in the 70s, partly cloudy most of the week. We had a stretch there. It was super hot, in high 90s every day. I would say on average, I would say it's probably lower than normal. I don't love the super warm anyway. I think that's why I live in New England, is because I melt when I go to Florida. I prefer it up here. And it's definitely coming up on conference season, coming up on vacation season, a lot of boating, fishing, biking, all that good stuff.
Yeah. So I spent the first week in June. I took off because I had to flush the brain out. And so I grabbed the boat, grabbed the family. We went out fishing. And first day, big goose egg, right? Second day, didn't do much better. Third day, 27 for the boat. The next day after that, 14 for the boat. We just went on this rocket hockey stick up for wow. bringing in. Yeah, we were going Great. For bass and crappie too, and a nice Great. One of my favorite lakes. It cleans the mind. So
awesome.
We're underway there. So let's go right into the fiscal year, right? So. Yeah. I know Microsoft, there's always the upheaval every year with Microsoft. There's, some accounts get changed around, some things happen. But, also some of our customers' fiscal year ends end of June. A couple of them are end of July, which is even weirder. But so I know some of the Microsoft world, or actually I'm not even going to pick up Microsoft. We'll say Cisco or Palo. When you start coming to the end of your season or end of your year, your fiscal year, and your customers are coming to their end of their fiscal year, doesn't that create a little bit of a tug and pull? Sometimes you're trying to get last things in for budget to make the year, and but sometimes the budget's not ready till July.
Right.
It creates this a little bit of a washing machine turmoil, at least from some of the customers that I've seen. You see that too, right?
Yeah, for sure. I will say it's more on our side, right? Because typically with the customers we're working with, they're on the larger side. You're talking probably $1 billion plus, in revenue. And then at least for my account teams. Probably at least 2,500 employees or more. So their budget cycles, especially in the manufacturing space, are pretty tight, right? They are very fiscally conservative when it comes to their budgets, and to get something out of band can be really challenging. I will say, however, with the OpenAI stuff, that it's really exploded. It's piqued everybody's interest, and they're making special allocations for proofs of concept and stuff like that. There's some just awesome things going on with that. And if I could give any advice to, our customers that are looking to get things, they know they're going to make a purchase of, Windows 365 or, something else that is going to benefit their organization here very soon, especially license-based, now's the time to go out there, get in touch. We've got 9 days left in the fiscal year. And so, jump. we probably won't post this for a couple of days, so jump.
jump fast. So as a partner, we often get dragged into conversations like, do I need this? Should I have this? Acting as an advocate to make sense of the very complex licensing model that Microsoft has. That's not a besmirchment. That's not, it's just, there's a lot of things offered and a lot of ways you can buy things. So sure. Making sense of that is huge.
45-year-old company, you know, a lot of old SKUs hanging around.
Yes, there is. And it makes sense sometimes to have a partner there because, you know, we like to say we're the bridge between you know, your Microsoft rep and your business, because, you know, we're on the boots on the ground for what you need. And if we can tailor some of the products and, you know, it, you know, make sense of, oh, you have E3 and you need all the security suite, don't buy it a la carte, just get an E5. You know, so sometimes that makes sense to do that. And especially this time of the year where getting the attention because it's end of year for Microsoft, getting their attention to really sit down at the table and figure that out might be a little harder, right? Like if you have 9 days left and you're still trying to figure it out, you're going to be in a pinch to grab someone. I mean, I'm sure Microsoft is always accommodating, but it's a little easier to get us to help bridge that gap and reach out to their rep. I do that all the time with a handful of customers and it makes sense, right? You know, we're the advocate for, you know, we're a partner and an advocate for the customer. We all three of us want to do this right by each other. So definitely makes sense. Is there any frivolous spends that you've ever seen, not necessarily with Microsoft or any current customers or anything, any frivolous spends that you've ever seen at the fiscal year end for any customers? I got a doozy of one for you.
You know, not in my professional career, certainly in the Army, you know, when I was way back when, you know, you saw a lot of crazy buying at the end of the fiscal period, at the end of September. And, and you know, there was a lot of stuff that got scooped up because they had to use their budget. It was that sort of mindset. If I don't use my budget, I'll lose my budget. And so they'd buy a bunch of crazy stuff. Nothing particular I can point out, but I do remember you know, us getting a whole bunch of new equipment come October, November timeframe because, you know, they had extra funds left at the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah, for sure. So I had an IT department ask us once because they had to buy something from, I was up with a different partner at the time, needed to buy stuff from an IT company because of the way the budgeting and procurement was. And we were asked to buy cubicle partitions for a customer because the budget was sitting in IT. They needed it. We don't source cube partitions. Right. It's like, that's really weird. And it's funny you mentioned Army. It's like the joke back when I was a wee lad was, oh yeah, an Army hammer costs $50. Have you gone to Lowe's and tried to buy a hammer?
Right.
A good one? It's $50.
So what I had always heard was $500.
Yeah.
The $500 hammer. So you can get a few for 500 these days.
Yeah, that's so true. So true. But yeah, it's just listen to this when you get it. You know, if you have any needs, reach out to your friendly neighborhood Microsoft rep and see if there's anything you can get across the line. Because as Chris mentioned, there's usually a lot of good deals that could be found this time of the year to try to, you know, turn into the next year and next year's spend. Looking at the list, so the next topic is upcoming conference season. So it's actually underway. So like Build happened already. There's you know, Cisco had their conference recently, and I was debriefed at Solutions for Network, sponsor of the show, by Jeff Ditmore. He did a really great synopsis on some of the new Cisco stuff. And the reality of the Cisco-Microsoft partnership became even more real when he consulted me in advance, and we actually had a follow-on meeting about Azure Stack and all the various edge compute stuff that Cisco has that will extend Azure into your data center. So, you know, stay tuned to the social medias because there's a whole bunch of information coming out of those VTs and the Cisco conference that we're going to kind of get out into the hands of people. Because, you know, if you can take that opportunity to offload some stuff that's in Azure, if you need to have that isolated development environment, I for the life of me, I never would have thought that there's been so much Microsoft collateral coming out of a Cisco conference. It's pretty awesome. You know, it's good to see. So, you know, the partner, which really doesn't affect many of our listeners, but the Microsoft partner conference is coming up soon, but then there's the Ignite series. So, you know, I look forward to, I usually try to stay in touch with some of the Cisco stuff, not as much Palo Alto, but I also pay attention to like SushiCon and Rancher and a lot of the Linux-y things, because good majority of the stuff we deal with and touch is Linux and Azure, or Linux in a data center that extends to Azure. So I'm really looking forward to see what happens at the partner conference, but more importantly, you know, with all the open AI stuff that's happened at Ignite down the road, I'm sure there's going to be gobs of content, right?
Yeah. You know, and again, you know, with the excitement around the technology, you know, we're making announcements all the time. You know, we've got public facing roadmaps as to when things are available. You know, most of the stuff we'll see at least a preview, by the end of this calendar year, you know, and Copilot's pretty much in every Microsoft product. You know, I jumped on this and put out a recorded a video. I haven't quite finished editing yet on you know, OpenAI and the differences ChatGPT and Azure OpenAI and that kind of stuff. One conference that was another big one, you know, because we've got a strong strategic partnership with, was the SAP conference. Oh, yeah. You know, we do a lot with them. You know, SAP on Azure is a very unique offering. It's an exclusive partnership and relationship that we have to optimize the SAP environment. So that was another big one. I forget what the Sapphire, maybe something like that. It's been a while. You know, and then, yeah, the partner conference is really good because it gives us the opportunity to spend a lot of time with our partners to, you know, really make sure that the FY24 priorities are very clear on both sides. You know, how we're enabling partners to do more for our customers, provide more services, provide more learning opportunities, and all those types of things. So that should be really great. Although I'm going to have to catch up on it all because I'll be on vacation.
I'll send you text messages of all the important things. So great. You can
please do. Help me pick which videos to watch.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really interesting to see the Microsoft's focus on partners, right? So it's becoming more and more, and I'm not saying that self-servingly as being a partner. It's just the nature of what's happening right now. We have, you know, a globally dispersed workforce that can be nimble and act accordingly. And it's like I have customer meetings that aren't at a customer's business, they're at the Panera closest to the customer, you know. So, you know, it comes down to like, how do we best service the customer? Is it, you know, is it dragging them to MTC? Is it, you know, getting them at our place and saying, okay, we're going to bring a rep in? That might work for some, but, you know, being nimble and being able to be, you know, not in the programming sense, but agile enough to jump around in service, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what Microsoft has to the partner program, the changes.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, that's cool. Any other conference-y things you want to bring up?
No, you know, we'll have, like you said, the Ignite series starting in the fall or late summer usually. We generally do a Digital Transformation Academy a little bit later, early fall usually. We're not sure on that, what's happening. I may have a calendar placeholder, but we haven't gotten any details on it yet. You know, again, that gives us, you know, more opportunity to skill our teams, you know, for new initiatives, new products. You know, it gives us a chance to get hands-on with some of the cutting edge stuff, you know, and that kind of stuff, which is really great because it gives us the opportunity to get that in front of customers so they can kind of see what's coming. You know, and then obviously, yeah, the, Ignite, it's November, I want to say, usually. It's bounced around, I feel like, because of COVID. You know, COVID brain.
it used to be, you know, mid-July to mid-August, but then it pushed out to November.
Yeah.
At least last year it was. So a couple things around that. DTA, from a partner's perspective, you know, certain partners get to attend DTA. And, you know, unless you're pure play sales, this is my opinion. I'm not discounting the conference, unless you're pure play sales, the value that I see in DTA is the relationship building between your regional reps. That's indispensable. FaceTime to sit there and plan with, you know, hey, this is what is asked of this by this customer, and here's some woes there. You know, can we like get a subject matter expert to help fix that out? Or how do we approach, you know, this region is really lacking IoT. How do we get IoT to, you know, get a foothold? Like that kind of strategery, it's not a word, but we'll use it anyways. That kind of strategery is like phenomenal, and you don't get that much, right?
For sure. Yeah. I think that's strategic and synergy, right? Kind of merged into one word, right?
Exactly.
but I agree, right? It's that opportunity. And regardless of what anybody says, face-to-face just can't be beat, right? The opportunity to meet with people, you know, even walking to a conference room, and customers feel it too. So, we've been a little more conservative with budgets to try to stand pat with our numbers, and there have been some reductions in force from some of the other big guys, which turns out has helped out some of the smaller companies that couldn't be as competitive, but they've been able to scoop up some really good talent as a result. And then, truthfully, by percentage, we're far below, what our biggest competitors, the fangs, if you will, that we're competing with as far as, how many employees we've had to, lay off and stuff like that, which is great. I mean, but at the expense of having limited budgets for travel and stuff. And so really, from my perspective, it's that opportunity to kind of get back in person with customers as much as we can.
Yeah, I'm with you. So I had I've had requests for meetings, regional and what have you, but I had the first like diehard, the next step is getting in person with a customer. It will require a little bit of travel and all that. We're doing a Synapse architecture, and they're like, well, I really want to see this whiteboard. And so like, I pull up my whiteboard, I got my Wacom, and they're like, no, I want to see it on my whiteboard.
Yeah, right.
So,
darn it.
Schedule that travel and airplane trip. But
yeah.
I'm okay with it. I mean, that's fine. It's part of what we do. It was just really unexpected for them to say, no, we need to be across the table for this.
Yeah. I agree.
Very cool. So one other bit on the conferencing. One of the things that came out of the last Ignite, and I'm looking at my notes here. Several people that I know that have gone to Ignite, the first one virtual, everybody loved it. It was great. And then they had the hybrid, the last one. Some of the people that were attending online thought there was not enough 200, 300, 400 education. Mm. So I'm interested to see if that resonated. I know a lot of people filled out like, hey, let's get some deeper dives. And my approach was I don't look for the 200, 300, 400. I look for the round tables because that's where the 200, 300, 400 topics are usually brought up and discussed. So sure. Anybody listening to this who may have had that feeling of like, there wasn't as much deep technical stuff. Like I remember dragging myself all over Orlando or New Orleans or Houston, and like, you're just mind dumping everything. You can still have that experience remote. Just get on your schedule early and get on the roundtables or the RSVP ones as fast as you can, because they fill up quick, right?
Right. Yeah. I was going to say that they don't record those. Right. So that's the big difference is that you can put a lot of the sessions into your backpack and you can come back to them later. But those specific roundtables and open forums, they don't record them. And that gives them the opportunity to be a little more open about what's going on and things like that if it's not being recorded. So, definitely. That's a great tip.
Yep. All right, let's close that topic out and move to the last one for the day. And again, we're 18 minutes in, and I can't believe we're already on our last topic. It never happens with you and me. So the last topic is something called Industry 4.0. Some people might know what that is. Some people might not have a clue. Our goal is to educate, evangelize, and promote what that is and the impact it is to your organization if it applies. So, without further ado, Chris, you want to kind of give a primer on what that is and what we're looking to do?
Yeah. To your point, right? The idea here is to Industry 4.0 is becoming somewhat of a mainstream term, especially in the manufacturing space. And, when you think about agritech and health tech and sort of everybody who is starting to, become more digitally transformed, if that's a way to put it. You know, it's starting to become more interesting about how we are, you know, helping our employees to do more and, you know, automating some processes and getting our hands on more and more data about what's happening out in the field and stuff like that. And so, you know, what I think would be great is if we can put together, you know, probably 4 or 5, maybe even 6, you know, podcasts. You know, we'll have our normal opening stuff and whatnot, but, you know, just to help people understand what we're talking about there. Right. And so, you know, at a high level, you know, one of the exciting things that people just don't really understand where it goes would be like something around, HoloLens, right. And what we can do with HoloLens and how customers are leveraging it. You know, we have some close partnerships with companies like PTC, who work with the HoloLens and can help make, very, very custom, capabilities, for, you know, if you go to an MTC, you can sort of explode out, you know, virtually an engine or, you know, a torso of a human. We've got a training area in the Boston MTC where, you know, we actually can look at the organs and we can get a good idea of what's happening there. And so really, it gives us the ability to
the HoloLens bench.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, exactly. And it gives us that ability to really sort of visualize on the screen what we want to be looking at, right? And that sounds a little obvious, but if you know, with the power of HoloLens and having the ability to use Teams and connect over a Teams call so that the person you're talking to on Teams is seeing what you're looking at, to be able to use a training video while you're looking at a piece of equipment, you know, and some of the more advanced stuff, if you've got, you know, sort of a 3D drawing of what it is you're looking at, you can, you know, explode that out to find specific areas to, you know, repair a part or things like that. You know, that gives us the ability to do a lot more without having to send people all around the world and all that kind of stuff, right? So especially manufacturers, a piece of equipment goes down, it's very costly. So they have to send somebody out. They have to be there in 4 hours to fix it. And that person could be coming from, you know, a 4-hour flight away, right? And so, you know, there are some things like that, you know, that we can minimize. The next one is just really getting more agile with our factories, really analyzing and observing where we can reduce, you know, things like scrap and reduce energy usage and those types of things. And so, you know, we've got a whole practice around helping customers to analyze those pieces and then figure out where some of that waste is to help them reduce it. And all of it, of course, is tracked with data, you know, because data is super important, right? The next one, you know, I think we can talk about is how to create more resilient supply chains. You know, by being able to order less parts so that we're closer to similar, like a just-in-time type fulfillment process, where, you know, we don't have to hold a bunch of inventory. We don't have to have a bunch of extra buildings to hold all that inventory, you know, to search for it and all that kind of stuff. If we can make sure that we are planning months in advance, of course, using data, using AI, looking at trends over the last 15 years to kind of have a gauge of where we're going to be over the next year or two. It just gives us a lot more capability to reduce some of that overhead, you know, and obviously makes us that much more efficient.
Yeah. And to add on to that, you know, using AI to kind of with supply chain to when things go unforeseen, you know, that's a variable, like, you know, during pandemic and the chip shortages, right? Now that is part of people's models to try to make sure that they can do just in time and have enough if there is a shortage or a ship that gets stuck and the canal. Obviously, we're going a little bit into the weeds here, but
right.
just to try to seed what these kind of things are about. Like if you're in any kind of requirement to have logistics, you know, you have to think these things through, and 4.0 helps address this, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Another one that's kind of helped more recently is around, you know, having more intelligent customer service, you know, bots, you know, to sort of use an older term, but really taking advantage of new technology. You know, we've all seen the success of ChatGPT and obviously the large language models. GPT-4 is available through OpenAI, Azure OpenAI, as well as through Bing now. You know, and you've got a more intelligent bot that understands the questions better, that can give you better answers, can help you route those questions better. You know, and it really helps you engage your customers in new ways. You know, and so it just opens up more opportunity for revenue growth, customer satisfaction, all those kinds of things. And then finally, you know, we want to look at leveraging data that we can use to, you know, whether it's monetization of that data, you know, looking at what some of the maybe some of the dark areas that we quite aren't leveraging around our business and things like that for deeper analytics. Again, using AI, you know, using a lot of the capabilities around the cognitive services that we've talked about. I know a guy who wrote a book. you know, you know, and it's actually selling really well. So I'm happy to say that. You know, and then, you know, just basically take advantage of this newer technology to get some real deep analysis and help you understand what your customers need and build on that.
That's good. That's great stuff. So, you know, you mentioned the book, so now's a good time to bring this up. So our core anchor sponsor, Solutions for Networks, is going to sponsor the series around 4.0, Industry 4.0.
Awesome.
Yeah, and we are going to give away a book to one lucky individual who listens to all the shows. So the way we're going to do this is we're going to have a keyword for each one of the shows that we're going to have around this. And we'll put the projected end date out for the series. And we'll have a place for you to go and just put all the keywords in. And of everyone who gets all the keywords right, or the majority of the keywords right, we're going to do the magic rando. You're going to get Practical Guide to Cognitive Services, Leveraging the Power of Azure OpenAI to Optimize Operations, Reduce Costs, and Deliver Cutting-Edge AI Solutions. So we are going, Solutions for Networks, I spoke with the team there, and they are amenable to helping sponsor and move this along, as well as, you know, being on the cutting edge of cognitive services and AI. So thanks to Solutions for that. And so we'll have all the details up on a web page soon, and we'll post that coming out soon. So I think that's a great way to, you know, keep interest and have everybody hear all the messaging and find out if it applies to you, right?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I mean, everything helps, right? So if you've gone out and bought the book already, thank you. And if you could, I can ask one more favor, go leave a review for the book, right? Help me out. It goes a long way with regard to how it gets ranked and things like that. I've already gotten a couple of reviews, and I really appreciate it from the folks that did. So far, they're getting a ton of value out of the book. You know, and if anybody can, you know, help me out there, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other final thoughts around this? I know there's going to be a lot coming up. We're going to have a regular cadence. I know that, you know, with holidays and everything, we go come and go a little bit. We're going to be a little bit more predictable with this series. We want to get it out there as fast as we can, though accurate. So you'll see, you know, regular releases on this. We'll put together what that cadence looks like. We're going to publish that, as well as give you the details on how you can get in the running for that book written by that guy on video. I'm pointing that way. So any final remarks or anything else you want to add to for today?
You know, and I guess the only thing I would say is that my wife already asked me, like, what does this mean that it's going to be more regular, right? but, you know, again, to your point, you know, hoping to put out, you know, some content every couple of weeks for you guys. I know everybody's hungry for it. We'll stay on the cutting edge. We'll put this series out. You know, and then there's going to be more to come, right? You know, the next one I'm going to talk you into is an executive data strategy series. Yeah. You know, we'll do a multi-part series on that as well and kind of unpack a lot of the things that you should be thinking about and looking at when you're, you know, looking at it from top down, how to really leverage that data and really make the most of it, you know, because, you know, whatever you want to say, data is new oil, whatever, you know, metaphor you want to use, it's there and it's real. And it's just amazing how much, customers are benefiting, you know, both monetarily as well as, from an insight perspective in their businesses.
Yeah. I like to use the phrase, and I can't footnote it cause I forget where I got it, but data is the, aside from the people side, data is the number one asset of any organization.
Sure. Absolutely. You know,
so it, even as simple as a customer list is data, yeah. You know, so, you know, that I'm definitely in and interested on that. We're going to focus on manufacturing. We can move to executives. We'll sprinkle a little bit of teams and some solutions for networks people somewhere around in between there, but we'll call out which episodes are for this series. And aside from that, I think this was probably our, 30 minutes. This is our fastest show ever, man.
Well, you forgot though, data is the new bacon, right?
I like bacon.
The most important one.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Well, thank you as listeners. Thank you as viewers. If you, depending on your outlet, we are everywhere. You know, we're going to be more focused on getting a lot of video out too, because we get a lot of people that do video over podcasting. A lot of people like the podcast because they can treadmill us. They can listen to us in traffic, throwing particular signs at people when they're frustrated. We calm people down. So that's a good thing, right? So stay close to us, interface, interact, and go check that book out. If you got it, give a review. And again, thank you to Solutions for Networks for helping sponsor making this show possible and also sponsoring this upcoming series. It's going to be brilliant. I appreciate
it. Yeah, great sponsor. Really appreciate it. Yep. Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. See you all. Take care.